supple and soft in the heart of God. Many people, I got all hands and feet. I'm jumping. Been wounded in church. Had your feelings hurt in church. I got all hands and feet. I'm jumping. Been wounded in church. Had your feelings hurt in church. Some people get hard because of that. Some people have been hard because they've been brought up in homes where they were not loved and not appreciated and told they were worthless and had no value. Or some people hearts are hardened because of other sins that they have in their life that they're refusing to repent of. But God is telling us, listen, this type of soil is not going to produce 30, 60, 100-fold. It's not going to produce and allow the crop to grow. It's not going to allow the perfect seed, the supernatural seed, the eternal seed of God to manifest in your life until you decide you're going to take the rocks out. Those rocks are what are going to always hold back the production that God has planned for you. I've watched so many individuals, they trade off God's best for foolishness. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Somehow they convince themselves in the head that they're going to get the best of harvest if they do the least of things. Today I want you to know that if you're ever going to have a true harvest, it's going to cost you something. Don't make me break you up in sections. Come on, Josh. He said sections. He didn't want to do it. So I want to go over some basics. Are you ready? I just want to teach you a little bit this morning because I don't have a lot of time. I probably have 10 more minutes. It's going to be one of the shortest sermons you've ever heard me preach. Today I want to go over the basic principle of how to get the greatest harvest that God has for you. I am like you. I do not want to fail. Amen? I do not want just second best. I don't want to just suck air and die. I want God's best for my life. And that is never going to come on accident. That is something that you and I are going to have to press towards and acquire because, again, the seed is perfection. So the problem is not that the seed does not have the ability. It is programmed into it. Every time the Word of God enters our life, it is automatically releasing the supernatural power of heaven to accomplish God's design. But what happens is when it hits the ground, if the ground is not soft, then it bounces. This is where many of us are. You hear a sermon being preached, a message being preached, and you go, well, that's a nice message, but it doesn't apply to me. Well, you know, I like that message, but, you know, I don't want to. You know what? You were preaching right at me, weren't you? I don't appreciate that. I've had people leave the church. You did everything but preach my name. Their hearts are hard, so when they hear the gospel, it doesn't seat. You might be one when the gospel is being preached, you got that stones. So all of a sudden, it gets a little bit of dirt in it, and it produces a little bit of root, but doesn't stand. But then you might be one who got truly saved and did not follow through. God's ground is the best ground. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And the ground must be soft. It must be rolled. And it must be disked. It must be fertilized, and it must be taken care of. Now, a farmer can drive into his field and say, be disked. What's going to happen to his crop? Nothing. Be turned. Be fertilized. Now, I don't know about you. I love the smell of cow manure. When I'm riding a motorcycle, there's nothing better than riding by a fresh field who's just received love. My wife said, that is disgusting. I hate that smell. I love that smell. In fact, one of these days, I'm going to get a cow, and I want to get some free-range chickens. It just won't work in the town of Big Flats. My wife's last service said, you're doing that in heaven, though, right? No, I want it right here. But I love the smell. Well, why do farmers fertilize? Because they're preparing the ground. You see, We recognize that a farmer has to do work on the ground before the seed that he has paid for is planted. Yet many times in our walk with Jesus, we come to church, we give our hearts to Jesus. It's genuine, but that's as far as it goes. We don't read our Bible. We don't spend time in prayer. We don't go to any kind of rock solid faith. If we hit church once a month, woohoo! And then we don't understand why we struggle so desperately in our walk with the Lord. And God is saying, no, listen, you've got to recognize your heart remains supple the more you're in my word, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Oh, I just love these verses. I'll just read them to you because it says it all. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. This is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Do not waste your good seed among thorns. Your heart has to be soft. The Bible says, rend your heart and not your garment. What does that mean? Some of us need to just get in front of God and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We need to say, God, I'm not in control. You are. Lord, I surrender my life to you. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. See, there comes a decision in your walk with Jesus where you're actually willing to surrender your life, not just go to church, not just be somewhat religious, not just be a moral, nice kind of person, but be an individual that really says, God, I want you to control my life. Listen now, the only way to make the ground soft is to surrender. You've got to surrender your heart. You've got to surrender your soul. You've got to say, Jesus, I want you to be in control. You see, after the farmer gets the soil soft, then we've got to recognize the soil, if it's not watered, becomes hard and compact all over again. Water is imperative. In fact, the one thing you'll find farmers doing is you'll drive by a big field and usually see these long, bent metal things in the middle of the field. You know what those are, don't you? That's watering. And so they'll hit the button. It will cost them money. It will cost them money. It will cost them time. And they plan it to where their crops will be watered. You see, without the water, you're not going to get the crop's results. It doesn't matter how good your ground looks when you first start off. You've got to make sure that when you're planting with wisdom. And that means you're going to water your crop. Well, what does that mean in the Spirit? It means everything in the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the water of the Word. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit is imperative in our lives. The Bible declares in the book of John chapter 7 that it'd be like springs of living water flowing out of the innermost parts of our belly. Right now we have a church world that is ashamed of the Holy Spirit. They're ashamed of the water of God. They're ashamed of the power of God. You know, some churches would never allow what happened here this morning to happen right here. And that is people getting prayed for, hands laid on, and people going out in the Spirit, and hands are raised, and people are shouting and getting excited. I want you to recognize why we do. Because there is no such thing as a church without the Holy Spirit being in control. Can I hear an amen? We are not ashamed of speaking with other tongues. We're not ashamed of the laying on of hands for the sick. We're not ashamed that you cast out devils. We're not ashamed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, who God has sent to work in us, through us, and on us right here on this planet, you must have the Holy Spirit. We can never cast the Holy Spirit out of the church. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 says this, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, and I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. See, you've got to have the Holy Ghost. You know, some people are really kind of funny because they've come to the church and they've seen God move around the altar and they get scared and they leave. And it amazes me because 1-900 psychics like $2 billion a year. People are calling these people up trying to get their future proclaimed. you know, the psychics, and you got the Ouija boards and the Reiki masters, and you got all these different satanic, these diabolical things that are happening, yet the world is searching after them. But when the body of Christ comes into the church and they see God move in a supernatural dimension, they go, oh my goodness, that's just strange. No, it's strange when you don't see the watering of the Holy Ghost. It's strange when you don't see the soil being watered by the Spirit of God. It's strange when you don't see the supernatural. Supernatural is natural to you, who and I, that are born again. Can I hear an amen? Then every seed bed, all dirt has to be weeded. You have to weed it. You've heard the story of the wheat and the tares, right? Wheat and the tares are very interesting when you study that in the New Testament. Wheat, of course, is the product that's been planted. And the Bible says that the enemy went and seeded tares. What's a tare? A tare is a weed. And what's amazing about that weed is this, is that that weed looks exactly the same as a piece of wheat until it's mature. Once it's mature, wheat, because of the heaviness of the fruit, bow. The tares stay standing up. Every one of us have things in our lives that got to get pulled. Every one of us got some sins in our lives that we've allowed to remain. And God is saying, listen now, until you pull those weeds, you're not going to get any more than a 30% return. Now, if you're happy with a 30% return, there's an issue right there. Jesus said, I want to bless you with abundance. Not survival. Not just getting by. We know the verse, John 10:10, for the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and life more abundant. Not just abundant life, but more than abundance. God wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or even imagine. God's got such great plans for you. I love the book of Isaiah when it made that declaration. I've got plans for you. God's got plans for you. They're awesome plans. Don't settle just to get the 30%. But that's determined by you and I and what we want to get out of the ground that we're willing to have that word planted in. See, some of us, we got these sins that nobody else knows about. Nobody else knows about. They're secret. We always think they're secret, don't we? The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. You know what I found? This is how I see the nature of God. God will always cover a sin if you're willing to repent. If you're unwilling to repent, he'll uncover it and expose it to save you from yourself. We've got to weed our life. We can't allow the seedbed where God is saying, I want to bless you with 30, 60, 100 fold. We can't allow ourselves just to be settled with the 30%. Oh, thank you, God, that I'm being blessed. Oh, but what God has for you is above what you can imagine. It's absolute abundance in your life. Stop settling for just getting by. God wants greatness for you, not just survival. I'm almost done. How in the world, Pastor, do we go from getting just 30, 60 to 100? It's simple. Everybody say, this is simple. The more word, the more seed you plant in good ground, it produces a greater, more abundant harvest. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 9, he says, if you sow sparingly, you shall reap. If you sow bountifully, you shall reap. You see, God wants to sow in you bountifully. That means he's given opportunity for the word to be dispensed. He's given opportunity for the perfect seed of heaven, that supernatural seed of God. For whatever you need is within that seed to be released in your life. But yet, so many of us only open the word when we go to church. So many of us just open the word when we are in trouble. And God is saying, no, listen now. You can get saved, and God is good. Can I hear an amen? God is good. And you can be in the good seed bed. But if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life, there's no water. Watch this. I just put that seed in the corner of that seedbed. And by the way, there's no water in that corner. It's dry. This farm that I hunt on, they do so much corn. And there's this section. When I come around that section every year, the corn never gets higher than probably this. Every year. And no matter what year, I've been there 5 years, every year, no higher than this. Was the seed bad? No, the seed's not bad. Is it that the farmer didn't want it to grow? Absolutely not. But on that corner, for whatever reason, it gets very little water. The hard ground starts grabbing a hold of the seed. And then all of a sudden, it starts to grow. Listen now, it will grow because it's the seedbed of God. But watch, it's not going to produce what it's supposed to. Smith Wigglesworth said it this way. He said like this. He said, "It is as we feed on the word and meditate on the message it contains that the Spirit of God can vitalize that which we received and bring forth through us the word of knowledge that will be as full of power and life as when he was. The Spirit of God moving upon the holy men and gave them inspiration with the scripture." I found so many pastors and so many ministers and so many people that want the power that Smith Wigglesworth had. He had a third grade education. He was a plumber by trade. And his wife got born again in the Salvation Army in England. And he was not all that happy. And what happened was he ended up getting born again himself. When he got born again, his wife taught him how to read by reading the Bible. He then got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and God started using him all over the world in the supernatural manifestation of miracles. I'm talking, I believe, 7 or 8 people were raised from the dead. 3 of them were actually already embalmed. So look at it. Embalmed dead. He walked up and raised them. No, this is not a figment of imagination and not just a story, but is validatable by even the chronicles that they have written concerning. So a lot of people have said, "I want the power of Smith Wigglesworth." I remember being in Bible school, and everybody said, "I want to move like Smith Wigglesworth moved." And one thing we found was this. Smith never went 10 minutes without reading the Bible. He never went 10 minutes without taking seed. He never went 10 minutes without putting something in the ground. And you see, the principle is this. If you sow sparingly, you get. If you sow bountifully, you get. So the more you're in the Word, the more the seed is getting in your spirit. The more the Word is in good ground, it will always produce a greater result. So people that are in the Word, it doesn't matter whether you're a preacher. I know preachers that don't read the Bible at all. I work with preachers. One preacher never prayed. He hasn't prayed in like 2 or 3 years. They're only in the Bible when they have to study for a sermon. And then some of them get it out of the book you can buy at Barnes & Noble. You laugh, that's true. We must be in the Word. You know, I remember, I'm almost done. I think that was my second closing, right? One more to go. I remember when I was in Bible school, and I think I've shared this with you before, but you know, at 24 years old, we started pastoring together. At 24. That's very young to pastor a church. How did that happen? Because when I was in Bible school, I not only was in Bible school, but I hung out with this dude named Craig Spencer. He taught me how to study the Bible. I got up every morning at 5 a.m. till 7 a.m. I studied the book of Proverbs. Then I went to breakfast. Then I went to Bible school. After I got out of Bible school at 3, I studied from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock the scriptures again. And then I would go to supper, and then I would hang out with my friends. And I'd usually go to bed early so I could get up again. I did that for 2 years straight. I almost wrote out the entire Gospels by hand through the chronological Bible so that I could understand the flow of the Word of God. I completed pretty much the book of Proverbs, where I wrote out the book of Proverbs, wrote out all the Greek, all the Hebrew words, wrote out all the information, and you know what? I know the Word. Let me tell you something. I used to go to sleep at night with that Bible on tape. No, I didn't say Bible on CD. I said Bible on tape with an automatic reverse tape player. And I'd hit that thing, and my roommate hated me. Why? Because the Word of God was playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in my room. I wasn't listening to country music. I wasn't even listening to gospel music. They'd share a new singer. I'd say, who? Why? Because I was in the Word. The more Word you get in you, the higher the production. The more Word you get into you, the more harvest you'll have. You've got to be in the Word of God. The devil is afraid for you to be in the Word because it produces faith, and faith moves mountains. God wants you to be powerful. He wants you to be abundant. He wants you to be blessed. He does not want you just to survive. Some of you don't. You won't even get up and read the Bible. You can't understand why you're not making it. Some of us, God has put his finger on that sin and we refuse to yield to it. We get hard in that area. We've all got to make decisions. And, you know, this is the interesting part about the kingdom. Is that God will never demand you to be who he's called you to be. God will not make you that abundant person that he's planned. God will not make you receive the harvest that he has already before the foundations of the earth planned for your life. He will never make you. We have to be willing to say, God, I want this more than just sitting back and being a person that just allows life to happen. God, I want to be like a farmer who gets up early in the morning and he goes out into his field and he plows the field and then he discs the field and he fertilizes the field. Then he plants the field. Then he makes sure with insecticide that everything is taken care of. And then he's still got to harvest the field. God wants us to be people that are going to be persistent, that are going to say, I want more than just survival. I want all that God has for me, but God will never make that decision for you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, my wife and I learned this a long time ago. Oh, I got to get that over here. I'm almost done. That was my third, right? Means I'm right on time. My wife and I learned this a long time ago. And we do this constantly. You know, it's funny. You know, we receive an offering at the church and people get bent out of shape. It just shows you don't understand kingdom principles. But my wife and I, people say to us, you know, how are you so blessed? Now, we live in a $79,000 house. We bought it for $79,000 in 17 years ago. Wow, we're getting old. 17 years ago. But you know, I have a lot of toys. And I have a lot of toys because we're really wise with our money. At the same time, what we've learned is this. Is when I have a need, I. When I have a need, I. Well, listen, I don't have a need, but I know I'm going to have a need, so I'm going to. Well, you know, I didn't get anything from the first crop yet, but I'm smart enough to know that if I'm a perpetual seeder, I'll have a perpetual. Then refuse just to get to desperation moment, the moment I have a need in my life, whether it be in my marriage, whether it be in my emotions, whether it be in my body, whether it, no matter what, I'm going to get into the Word and I'm going to seed. Not when it hits, but before. I want my seed bed popping on all seasons. I don't want it just happening when I have a situation in my life. So that means, listen, before sickness hits your body, you better be in the Word of God on how to get healed. Do I need to do another closing? I said, before sickness hits your body, you better make sure that you're already in the Word learning how to. Before you have marriage problems, you better be in the Word, because the Word is the seed of God. It's supernatural, and God will give you direction, conviction, direction, and He'll show you how to have a good marriage. He'll show you how to raise your children. He'll show you how to talk. He'll show you how to think. He'll show you how to use the time that He's given you. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. You see, this 30, 60, 100-fold is very real. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them over again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're in bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on their foreheads as reminders. Write them at the door post of your house and on your gate. The more word you receive, the more you will prosper. I don't like to read. Get the Bible on your app and play it. You'll hear it in my truck. You'll hear it in my bedstand. You'll hear it. You'll hear it when we're taking a shower. We don't play music when the showers are happening. You'll hear the word bellowing through the house. Why? Because the word is the seed of God, and the seed is supernatural, and I want it in my life. I want it in my ground. I'm not prospering because I'm the pastor. I'm not prospering because I'm a guy. Because my name is Mike, I'm prospering because I've decided to make sure that the only way is to plant, 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 plant. And when the Holy Spirit says, that rock is in the way, okay, Holy Ghost, get it out. Oh, when the Holy Spirit says, that weed right there is going to kill that plant, get it out. When you learn to obey, you'll start to prosper like you've never prospered before. And if you don't blame God. So many people do that. Well, you know, the Lord blesses them, but not me. God don't love not one of us any more than another. You are wholeheartedly loved. So what's the difference? It's the ground. It's the ground. We all know that the moment you put the seed in, it doesn't pop out in 30 seconds. Some of you have been planting seeds and you're believing God and you're not seeing evidence yet. Don't give up hope. The word always works. Today I have a question for you. What kind of ground are you? No one can answer that but you. Nobody. Nobody can answer that but you. Your wife can't, your husband can't, your kids can't. Nobody can answer this question, but what kind of ground are you? Are you hard? Are you stony? Do the cares of this world take more precedent than the things of God? Or are you good ground? It says, Lord, I'm ready for you to produce in my life like never before and in every single area of my being. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you that your word is truth. Lord, today we receive your word. We declare your word over our lives. Lord, even as this message, this mystery that you revealed, Jesus, while you walked on this planet, the mystery, Lord, that you unfolded for us to show us how the kingdom works. Holy Spirit, we ask for understanding. For the more we understand the word, the more we're willing to apply it. I pray, Lord, that we'll see our lives in one of these beds, and that God will determine to get out of the first three, to get into the last. And those that are in the last will declare, Father, I'm going to seed like I've never seeded before. This is your kingdom principle. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the number one principle that you have got to get is this. Unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it produces no fruit, which means this. You need to give your heart to Jesus. Not a religion, not a church, but to Jesus. He'll take your life. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll give you direction and he'll give you purpose. He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. He'll take away all the guilt and the shame. And the final cherry on top is you get to be with him for eternity in heaven. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Say, I want to receive Jesus. Is there anybody in the room? Two people received the Lord in the first service. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else that want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Come on, I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you, young lady. Come on, 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. Thank you, sir. 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. You see, I take that part of the service extremely serious. Why? Because if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Don't worry about the harvest. You're dead. But if you know Christ, your life can change for eternity in amazing manners. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave right now. I want you to meet me right over here. Come right out of your chair and meet me right up front. Come on now. Grab the person next to you and say, you got to go with me. Come on. Come on. Grab them. Come on. You got it. You got it. Come on. I'm not going to wait long. Father, I speak blessing right now over all the ladies and all the mothers that are in this room. Lord, many of them have heartache and have wounds in their hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name that you who heal the brokenhearted will release that special anointing, Lord, to heal them in their hearts in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who are still praying for their children to be saved. I declare, God, the devil can't have them. We rebuke the spirit that blinds the mind of the unbeliever. And we declare freedom and liberty in Jesus' name, that they will be saved and not lost. God, we speak healing, O Lord, over all the ladies in the room in the name of Jesus. Any sickness or disease, we command you according to the word of God, the seed of heaven, get out of their bodies in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare by your word that we are blessed and not cursed in everything we do for the glory of heaven. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, I love you. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you personally. Make sure you make your way to the guest reception. Go right out the doors and go over on this side of the building. We'd love to meet you.
I got it. I got it. I got it.